Did what I did for the good of the realm. The realm. Do you know what the realm is? It's the thousand blades of Aegon's enemies. A story we agreed to tell each other over and over till we forget that it's a lie. But what do we have left once we abandon the lie?
Chaos. A gaping pit waiting to swallow us all.
Chaos. Isn't a pit. Chaos is a ladder. Many who try to climb it fail, but never get to try again. Fall breaks them. And some, given a chance to climb, they refuse.
Never forget the chaos factor. The chaos factor is working quite well, and I'm enjoying it. It's amusing, and if you don't understand it and you can't see it, then you better start thinking about it and learn what's going on. The chaos factor. Terrible Tommy here on, this is still October, and it's the 26th. Yeah, 26th of October. We got some rain here, and the leaves are falling like mad. And this is Wotan's Day, David Lane's favorite day. Well, the webmaster, She-Wolf, has put a show together today for you, and I don't know what it is, so let's get at it and see what it is.
We've got about 2 minutes here, and I'll introduce you, and then we'll come on and start things out.
Okay.
This hour, I'm just going to have you and I talk, so we don't have to deal with callers or anything.
All right.
It'll be just you and I talking. Let's give you a good chance to start with this story about Portland, what happened.
Sure.
That's fascinating to me.
Sure.
So let's get your input on that, and then we'll head in. And so you know, probably second hour, there's going to be a TV crew here just filming the show.
Sure.
Video, if that's okay with you.
No problem.
Okay, hold on, Tom.
Fine.
But price gouging is somewhat of an Olympic tradition. During the last U.S. Games 12 years ago in Los Angeles,
and Austin, four of us will have done this family, Lehigh and Linden, and all of you listening. For making KCNR a part of your day. It's good to have you along. We got, I'm getting email now from a phone company employees who are horribly and awfully upset with me for talking that way about the local phone company. But darn it, sometimes you gotta do it, don't you? Well, it's been all over the news. I don't know if you saw the story or saw that NBC News is focusing on it. I know last night, or the night, I think it was the night before, Ted Koppel talked about it again. Last night on Dateline NBC was a lead story, and that is the situation in Fort Bragg, North Carolina. And we've heard a lot about, like, racism going on in the Army, the Armed Forces, and why it's happening. I guess there's been speculation. We're going to talk to the gentleman who should know. He is the leader of the White Aryan Resistance, and he's familiar with the activities. He has an interesting background, and we'll share a little bit with that. Joining us from California is Tom Metzger. Tom, good morning.
Good morning, Todd.
Appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you.
Tom, tell people about you, your background, how you began your activities.
Well, I've been active politically since the early 60s and gradually developed from a right-wing conservative through the Burt Society and right on through to the Tax Rebellion and gradually became quite active in the racial movement. And in the mid-70s, from 75 to 1980, I was the leader of the KKK in California. And in 1980, I created the White American political association, which evolved into what we are now, White Aryan Resistance.
And you were active for some time in the Pacific Northwest.
Well, I've always had contacts all over the country. We've never been a membership organization. We've always been a voluntary association of a variety of people. Many of those people belong to or other organizations.
Now, you are have been familiar with and have talked with Richard Butler, have you not?
Oh, yes. I've known Pastor Richard Butler for years.
And his organization is called?
Aryan Nations.
Okay, the Aryan Nations. Right now, I used to live in Spokane.
Yes.
I used to, you know, I know about Hayden Lake and the compound out there. So you monitored things probably like the Randy Weaver situation, etc.
Oh, yes. We were on top of that the whole time. We had people travel there, friends of ours from Portland, actually.
Now, how is it that you came to your beliefs about race?
Well, this is something that evolved over decades. I was born in a small town in northern Indiana, about 100 miles from Chicago. I was not born in the South. In the community where I was raised, it was 99% white, more than 99%. And really, race was not a factor. There was really no racism that I knew about because there was nothing to be racist about. It was a very self-sufficient community. There was almost no crime. Anyone who wanted to work at a job, and it was a very delightful time to be raised during the 50s. But when I went into the American Army, I did have my first culture clash with blacks from usually from Chicago or St. Louis, places like that. But I just observed them as being generally somewhat different, but really didn't think about it as a racial thing at the time. Well, as I when I came out of the military, I spent some a couple of years working in Indiana. Then I came to California, went to work for Douglas Aircraft in the missile division, and we worked on the space shot, the first space shot. There, I began to drift into right-wing politics, which was actually sponsored by the company, specifically anti-communist program.
Yeah, I mean, you want to send missiles somewhere once you make them, otherwise you're not going to make them anymore.
That's true. That's true. So they did have programs in the company about anti-communism and things like that. Then in 64, I worked for the Goldwater for President campaign. That was a major point in my life. I was trying to decide who to vote for, Rockefeller or Goldwater. So you can see how sort of naive I think I was at the time. I swung to Goldwater and worked extremely hard for him, and when he failed, I joined the John Birch Society. Incidentally, I was recruited into the John Birch Society by a newspaper reporter. But still, I was not what you would call racial. I was quite upset with the Watts riots because they were occurring just not too many miles from where I lived at the time. I was upset with the Rumford Fair Housing Bill, which told people they couldn't sell their property to who they wanted to. They had to sell it to blacks or Hispanics or Asians or what.
They couldn't discriminate based on that.
Yes, and I really believed in a libertarian sort of idea that the way you separate a slave from a free man is his ability to dispose of his property as he sees fit. And so I said that this was very dictatorial and bad. And maybe that sort of began my interest more in the race issue. And, but as you go to meetings and meet other people, you begin to pick up things here and there, and people hand you books and magazines and papers, and you study.
Now, at what point do you consider yourself a white supremacist or a white separatist?
I refer to myself as a white separatist. Because and not to play down my great loyalty to my race, but rather than to start off a conversation with a fist fight, sometimes it's good to say, hey, look, I believe in the separate development of races. I think all the races do best under separate development, like they have for the past few million years.
Do you believe blacks are inferior or Jews are inferior to whites?
Well, I, as a race, as far as Jews, I don't consider Jews a race. I do consider maybe parts of Jewry racial, but...
Do you consider Jewish people or black people to be inferior to whites?
Well, Generally speaking, Jews are quite intelligent, at least a large percentage of the small percentage that are in the country. However, it's not obviously totally true. I just look at history and say I believe the white race is the best race, the race that has really developed Western civilization, created it, created our culture, and so forth. With its bad points and its good points, but I still think it's the finest race in the world. And I would hope that any person of another race would feel the same way about their race.
But do you think that blacks are inferior to whites?
In some ways, probably, yes.
Do you think whites are inferior to blacks in some ways?
Probably, yes.
Okay. Well, now, you had a situation occur to you in Portland, Oregon.
Yes.
That was just, to me, just fascinating.
Yes.
I want to present this to people in light of what's going on now. We've heard a lot about gangster rap.
Yes.
And the fact that people like C. Dolores Tucker would like to see gangster rap done away with because they feel it leads to violence in the inner cities. They feel that young black people are following the words of people like Tupac Shakur and Snoop Doggy Dogg and going out and killing officers.
Yes.
Now, they have not been prosecuted. You, however, were prosecuted for writing something you wrote that the court said led to the death of a man in Portland. Can you tell us about that?
Well, I was actually targeted early on by the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is a I guess you'd call it a liberal money-making group that pretends to uplift the downtrodden but really makes millions through fundraising. And they looked on in many ways to get at Tom Metzger because I have always been totally legal within the law, and they couldn't figure out a way. So they finally found this obscure case that happened in Portland, Oregon, where three black Ethiopians got in a fight with three white skinheads in the middle of the night over pretty much a parking place, and this one black Ethiopian died. This was a big cause celeb in Portland because, if a black person dies, it's all over the news everywhere, but if a white person dies under the same circumstances, it's usually back in the used car section. Anyhow, they found that particular case and found that I had known and had some association with a young man by the name of David Mazzella. David Mazzella, on his own free will, had traveled to Portland and met up with some of these skinheads, and they had been involved in activity of handing out literature and so forth. But when this particular crime happened, all of a sudden, the people who get so excited about these kind of cases decided that they would try to target me. So they was able to get this David Mazzella to testify to them that I had sent him as an agent to Portland, and then he had in turn indoctrinated these other skinheads that were in a group called White Pride, and then they in turn had gone out and stalked black and killed him. The theory of the case was, extremely tenuous, and I could not get a lawyer. They wanted $100,000 cash. There was no way I could do it. So,
didn't it at one point come down to a pamphlet you had written?
Well, my newspaper. It was all 99% of the trial was based upon my newspapers, my television program we've produced since 1984, my phone machine, voicemail, and so forth. And of course, that's what swayed the jury. There was only one real witness, and that witness was perjured. Of course, there was cooperation between the Anti-Defamation League, the Southern Poverty Law Center, the Portland Police Department. It went as far south as San Diego and San Francisco.
So the Southern Law Poverty Center was able to team up with the Anti-Defamation League and the police?
Oh, yes. They had meetings and everything. And it a lot of this has come out, and there's a lot that hasn't come out yet. I ended up in jail not for that. No, but that was a civil case. They decided against us and found us liable for about $10 million in damage. They took my house, they took my business, they took my political things and so forth. But the jailing came after a 10-year-old battle in court on a similar situation where I had been invited to attend a gathering of several groups in a place in the a place up near Los Angeles, and among those groups was the Klan, and there was Aryan Nations and Richard Butler. Well, part of the proceedings of the evening were that these people were going to have a cross-lighting for their traditional ceremony, the part of the people that were involved in the Klan. And so, and I was there simply to give a speech. Well, as I stood around waiting on my time to give a speech, the property was raided by the Los Angeles Police Department. We were all hauled away and charged with a variety of things, and ultimately they settled on a conspiracy to burn refuse material, and which nobody had ever been charged with.
To burn garbage.
Right. And no, I don't think anyone has. My brother-in-law was in the LA Fire Department. He couldn't find a record of anybody ever being charged with that. But with so just because I happened to be on the property, I was included in that. Two felonies and a misdemeanor, which was illegal assembly. However, ironically, when it came to court, after we fought, it was kicked out of court two or three times by various judges and brought back by the DA. When it went to court, finally, I was able to beat the two felonies and was found guilty of illegal assembly. Now, this is interesting because it was private property and there were no neighbors. And we, of course, had permission to use the property. But the interesting part about it was that my jury was 10 non-whites and 2 whites, mostly black, some Hispanic, and some Asian, and they found me innocent on 2 felonies and only found me guilty of illegal assembly, which is not a very bad charge, misdemeanor.
Right.
Well, the judge was so upset because he thought that sure, in downtown L.A. with a majority-minority jury, that they would throw the book at me, that he insisted not that I pay bail or probation or anything like that. In fact, he originally tried to send me to jail and give me probation, and even the DA had to remind him he had to give me one or the other. So he gave me 6 months in jail because I'd never been in jail in my life, and so I spent 45 days in jail, but my wife was terminally ill at the time with cancer. And after 45 days, they released me to be with my dying wife. And so that was the extent of the jail thing.
Now, you've had an interesting past, and you've been in the news a lot. In fact, I remember seeing a TV show. I think your son was on a show. You were on, I'm trying to remember if it was the Oprah Winfrey show.
Well,
you were on the Geraldo Rivera show.
Well, the world-famous Geraldo Rivera show. I wasn't on the show where Roy Innes of CORE tried to choke my son to death on the stage.
Yeah, I saw that, and this was... that was the Geraldo Rivera show. Do you remember what year that was?
Gee, that's been about 10 years now.
Yeah, your son was on TV, and I don't remember what group Roy Innes was with, but Roy Innes is huge.
Well, he represents CORE, Congress of Racial Equality.
Yeah, and I mean, I tell you, I watched that show, and I saw it coming because,
yeah.
I mean, your son had fiery words.
Sure.
And I think probably, used the, I don't remember specifically, but used the term nigger, I think.
He may have.
Yeah. And then Roy Innes then crossed the stage and put a very big hand on your son's throat and choked him.
Yeah, well, at the encouragement of Geraldo Rivera, who you'll hear on the soundtrack saying, go ahead, Roy. And but the point is, people have to...
Geraldo got his nose broken on, right?
He sure did, by my best friend, Wyatt Caldenberg, who lives here in Fallbrook, who waded through the audience and jumped up on a stage and grabbed Geraldo over on the right side of the stage and beat him.
Hit him with a chair, didn't he?
No, well, that chair, Geraldo still tries to use the chair as what broke his nose, but it wasn't actually that. There was a chair went flying through the air, but it was actually my 250-pound security man that got him on the other side of the stage and was on top of him.
Okay, Geraldo. Now, Geraldo Rivera, his real name is Jerry Rivera, is that
right? Right,
okay.
Right.
Now, do you think that he has a racial agenda in his book?
Oh, of course he does. He was quite involved, very radical in Puerto Rican groups early on. He was picked up by extreme left-wingers, sent to law school, and he's been curried by those kind of people ever since. And, of course, he's got a big Star of David tattooed right on his hand. Yes, his father was Jewish, his mother was Puerto Rican.
And you think that enters into, does that enter into his success in the media?
Well, I don't know. It possibly could. I think a lot of times people of color who, gee, in this particular situation may be partly Jewish, in this day and age seem to have a little edge on, the Anglo-Saxons.
Do you think that we joke here a lot, Tom?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, my guest is Tom Metzger, leader of the White Aryan Resistance. We're going to be talking about the church burning to the south as well as what happened in Fort Bragg, North Carolina with the swastika being painted on the door. We joke here a lot about the Jewish media conspiracy, and we sardonically and ironically make the statement, but do you think there is a Jewish media conspiracy?
Well, I believe there is a mindset in this country that is encouraged very much by possibly a Jewish way of thinking. I was just reading last night in a Jewish magazine that over 85% of the Jewish people in this country vote Democrat or vote liberal. So there seems to be a mindset among many Jews that leads them in that direction. And I do believe that that does have an effect in the colleges, the universities, and so forth. But unlike some of the groups, I don't leave my own race off the hook. I believe that no matter what problems we have with people from other races, our main problem is from within our own race.
What are the problems from within our race?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, the European American people have been betrayed by their own leaders. They have spent the media, the government, the churches have spent billions on integration. We believe that there should at least have been free choice. There is no need for social experimentation, and people's social patterns should evolve along the lines that they feel best, and they should have the absolute freedom to discriminate and gather where they wish and when they wish. And if they wish to have all-white schools, fine. If blacks want to have all-black schools, fine. But in this country, there has been what I call a universalist trend for decades, which feeds into the so-called Bush's One World Order or whatever, that everything that is internationalist and anti-nationalist is good. Anything that's national and anti-regional is good.
Do you feel that minorities right now in America are getting more than their fair share?
Well, I'm sure if you'd asked minorities, they would their fair share would be all of it, because there's a tendency of
Do you think minorities are getting more than their fair share?
Well, I don't think a lot of minorities have been competing on a level field. I think they've been given a lot of advantages that's actually going to hurt them in the end.
Do you think that the government does too much to give too much to minorities in the way of affirmative action? In the way of race-based scholarships, do you feel that the government of the United States gives more leeway to minorities than they do to white people?
Oh, especially the white male. The white male has been the target for a long time in this country.
Why is the white male still then the greatest preponderance of people leading large industrial groups and leading the government?
Well, these are people who really evolve out of the elitist class in this country that are part of the small class of people who own a majority of the country. And they feel that if they can homogenize the population into some type of a drone workforce, and they'll be the elitist at the top, and they'll continue to run the show.
So they would like to homogenize the rest of us while they remain pure?
As pure as possible. And because they feel that they're international, they're part of an international class, that really, that nationalism is old hat, that loyalty to your community and things like that are old hat and must be superseded by a loyalty to an international economic class, an international social class, and so forth. So they don't. So the poor are getting poorer in this country, and the rich elite are getting richer.
Continue. I want to ask you about what happened in Fort Bragg. You were not upset to see that that the Army soldiers there had painted swastikas on doors.
I would be. I'm upset in the sense that our activity in the military is total covert, and we caution people to not exhibit any kind of overt racism in the military. But their duty is to burrow into the military and get the best training they can and keep their mouth shut.
So that's why they're there. And when we come back, can you explain to us then why racial groups are having their members join the military and explain to us the logic behind that when we continue? Is that okay?
Yes.
We'll do that. My guest is Tom Metz. A show, it was that favorite. It was that famous show wherein Roy Ennis attacked. Well, if you saw the show. Tom Metzger's son said words like nigger and I don't remember what else, but pretty inflammatory language. And a black guy named Roy Ennis got up and went over and choked young Metzger. And at that point, Tom was telling us his bodyguard then broke the nose of Geraldo Rivera. When we come back, we will talk about what is going on in the South with the burning of the churches. We will talk about whether or not the racist organizations are infiltrating the military when we continue. 8:34 in the morning, 80 degrees outside. My name is Todd Herman. This is Super Talk. Good morning. It is 80 degrees, 8:40 in the morning. My guest is Tom Metzger with the White Aryan Resistance. We'll be taking your calls next hour if you want to join us. We'll find out now about what's going on in the South. First of all, thanks to Mortgage Control for sponsoring the Tower of the Todd Herman Show. Mortgage Control, 596-9649. If you are a person who needs to get a loan, and you need it for either debt consolidation, you need it to take care of a car purchase or a home purchase. The media has recently started to focus on, and USA Today's focus on, people are very concerned about racism in the Army. And I might understand that there are racist groups that want to infiltrate the armed forces in America.
Well, there always have been, ever since I can remember. I remember when I was running the KKK in California, we had a lot of people in the Marine Corps, and there was quite a bit of a hubbub about that. But in recent years, instead of being so out in the open and wearing T-shirts and all that kind of stuff, we have told them that the best thing for them is to totally be unidentifiable as a racist in the military.
Why are they joining those?
Well, a lot of young people want a military career. They like the military, and they like the activities that they're trained to do in the military. And beyond that, if their talents are needed at some time in the future in this country, in the streets of this country, well, then they will be educated on how to do it.
In your opinion, will their talents be needed?
Yes, definitely. I believe their talents will be needed and not that too far into the future. I believe we're moving towards a police state so fast it'll make your head swim.
Okay, in regards to that, is this going to be, in your opinion, I mean, let's for, you know, you can be like the one of those psychic hotlines. I think, who was it?
Yeah.
Everyone seems to have one.
Sure.
Deanne Warwick has one. I mean, you can have one now. The Metzger Psychic Hotline.
Right.
Be a psychic for us, Tom. 5 years from now, what's going to be happening in race relations?
Much worse. It's deteriorating worse and worse and worse. The more we so-called integrate, the more we have violence. The tremendous crime rate among non-whites in this country, over 70% of violent crime. If we didn't have that crime in this country, we'd have less crime than most European countries. The total abandonment of the American borders, the tremendous influx of third world people, Asians too, from all over the place. Another thing that people are going to have to confront very quickly is the runaway mutated viruses that are beginning to come into the country, and I look for epidemics to break out and so forth. And of course, as various social, cultural, and religious groups demand more and more for themselves, the government will be less and less able to make everyone happy. This, I believe, will lead to social unrest of not only group against group, but groups against the government themselves. themselves. I believe the government is preparing itself for it. I believe that they're arming themselves more against the citizenry and getting ready for a confrontation.
Okay, so a question for you is, do you want that?
Well, I've come to the position in my life that I believe that the experiment in this country is over as it has been known to be. I believe that the republic is a thing of the past. Democracy is a sham. I believe the voting box has become a sham. And I believe ultimately, as Jefferson so rightly said, revolution is needed every 20 years, and we're way overdue.
Someone said a good revolution is good for the soldiers.
Well, I think it breaks up the blood clots in the system, and I think that no matter whether it's good or bad, there's going to be some type of major upheaval and balkanizing in this country.
In your opinion, would this country function better as a white country?
Absolutely.
I'd like to see that occur.
Yes. Now, that does not mean that we do not need to purge the corruption within our race that really right now is still in control.
If you were President Metzger.
Yes.
And I assume you didn't inhale either. If you were President Metzger,
yes,
and you were able to, through whatever device or war project or whatever you were able to do, would you like to see minorities told to leave?
I would like to see as many volunteer to leave as possible. Number one, we would close the borders, and we would round up everyone that, even under the amnesty that came in and so forth in the last 10 years, and ship them back home.
What about minorities that have been here for a while? Would you like to see them leave?
I would love to, ideally, to see an all-white North America, yes. But if it takes, if that is not totally possible and we must negotiate, we'll have to do like I have done over the past number of years, and that have had talks with various black nationalist groups and others. Like, I have been the guest speaker of the Black Panther Party at their national convention. I've been guests of Asians, and I've been taken to Tokyo and Japan and given lectures and so forth. So we are saying that there's two ways out. One, a winner-take-all fight for the whole continent, and then there's the negotiated, more peaceful possibility of separation in this country.
Well, but we used to hear about, for instance, the Pacific Northwest being turned into a white tri-state region of Washington, Oregon, and Idaho, I believe.
Many people in the racialist and the so-called right wing debate this subject, and many have said the five northwestern states. Of course, you know there's a move on to separate Western Canada from the rest of Canada, and some people are even predicting that sooner or later Western Canada and the Northwest United States will combine in some kind of a political entity, because really nations don't stay the same forever. Things change.
If the minority groups and you've reached out and apparently talked to Black Panthers and been their meetings and such. You guys are going to share a lot of the same beliefs, albeit in the reverse. They believe that the black should have control.
Well, one thing we do when we sit down together, there's no holds barred and no conning each other. We put the cards on the table. I'm a racist. I'm a racial separatist, and most of them are too. And say, well, now that we got that out of the way, we're not going to argue about that. Let's argue about how we can come out of this without killing each other.
That sounds like an interesting sort of a meeting of you sitting down and saying, well, you know, I don't like niggers and they say, I don't like honkies, and you guys sit there and say, okay, well, right on, let's have dinner.
Actually, it's not quite so brutal. I'm not the type to sit around using the word nigger, and most of the blacks I know don't sit around using the word honky, but we do form in many ways sort of a mutual respect, an ability to go along, to get along, and I am a frequent guest of black radio, and I must admit, percentage-wise, I'm treated much better on black radio than white radio.
Well, the question, Tom, for you is, if the minorities didn't want to compromise and they did not want to split the nation, would you back off from a race war to secure this country for a white nation?
Well, I believe what we have coming is a white civil war, because until the we are racial and cultural determinists. The whites in power are economic determinists, tied into transnational corporates and international finance. If we cannot wrest control of our future from this cabal of people, then we can't. There's nothing can be done about the racial thing at all. We're not kidding ourselves. We can't take on everybody and everything in the world.
But if a race war to occur, if you had the opportunity to be in control, the minorities would not compromise. Would it be against your beliefs to have a race war to force minorities out of the country?
No, if it came ultimately to a to that type of a situation, I would not miss a lick. I mean, I would use whatever force I had to use at my disposal to gain what my goals might be.
What you're saying, and you're pointing out quite clearly that you would prefer the compromise.
I would prefer that because I don't. People think that people like myself like violence. I don't like violence. I've been involved in riots many times, and I've been in the military and so forth. And I think that if, one, we could get the economic determinants off our back that are trying to socially engineer everyone and give people a little bit of room to make some free choice in this country, many things could be alleviated. And another thing, if they would move towards parliamentary representation, proportional representation, I mean, in this country, instead of winner-take-all politics, it might take the heat off for a while.
Okay. Well, my guest is Tom Metzger. Tom, we're going to continue. We'll be right back. He is with the White Aryan Resistance, in fact, the leader of the group. We'll open up the phones next hour if you want to talk with him. And if you're a racist and you listen to the show, I'll talk to you and see if you agree with Tom. If you've heard me have the same surprise.
Which makes a big
White Aryan Resistance. Tom, the church burning from the South, is this the work of the KKK?
I have no idea. I don't see any advantages to burning black churches. I think that wherever black people gather to themselves is actually what we would prefer. We prefer racial separation, and so it would not make really much sense to racial separatists, white racial separatists, to be involved in burning black churches.
Yesterday, Danny Carver's hotline.
Yes.
And Danny Carver is, you mentioned him on your phone-in line.
Right.
And he, as you called him, is an unreconstructed, what was
rebel.
It? Rebel, yeah. Now, his phone line is full of the phrases, dirty niggers, dirty Jews, and dirty filthy wetbacks.
Yes.
Do you condone talk like that?
I condone total, absolute free speech. Like on that television show, Geraldo Show, John called Roy Ennis and Uncle Tom.
John, your son.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. He's called Roy Ennis and Uncle Tom.
And Roy Ennis is an Uncle Tom by any standard in the black community. He's a part of the Republican apparatus in New York. He does not identify with the black working class community. He runs a string of immigration parlors bringing Caribbean blacks into the country. And he's become sort of a mascot of the Republicans, so they can trot him out and say, yeah, we have a black conservative.
Gotcha. Hey, listen, Tom, we're short on time. We've got about 10 seconds.
Sure.
We're going to come back and talk more with you.
Fine.
Second, my guest joining us from California, Tom Metzger. Tom, we started to talk about O.J. Simpson. What did
excuse me, one thing I would like to mention is that people can ask for a more in-depth explanation of our principles by sending a self-addressed stamped envelope to P.O. Box 65. That's Fallbrook, California, 92088.
Okay, 92088.
Right. Yes, we have a hotline we change every week, and it's pretty radical. It's 619-723-8996.
And you also have a worldwide web.
Yes, we are at www.resist.com. Now, on that web, they can download articles after articles on our ideology and so forth and read them for themselves.
Right. And people can send donations, et cetera, if they wish to join us.
Yes. Yes. Our paper is $30 per year or $3 per issue.
Okay. We started to talk about O.J. Simpson last hour. We'll get those numbers out again for you if you missed that. O.J. Simpson meant what to the Aryan resistance and the Aryan movement in America?
Well, he is certainly a sad case, and probably the group of individuals that he insults and defames the most is the black women of this country. The black men who find it absolutely necessary to seek out white women and leave their black women, either divorce them or leave them or whatever, and never even have anything to do with them, are actually pathetic, and it's a real insult against black women. And if anybody should be upset, it should be them. Here was a man who tried to crawl out of his particular niche and become acceptable to the white people and all the trappings of the white man and so forth. And actually, in his mind, he probably was making a race change, at least spiritual, in his mind, that he began to think he was white.
So, and that was a sign of that, but he only dates white women. I've only seen him with white women. Although now I think he's dating a black woman.
Well, he's probably finding that his points in the public eye are better, especially in the black community, because he really divorced himself from the black community, like many black leaders do.
Did you ever find a black woman attractive?
Only if they had a lot of white blood in them. The only attraction in a non-white woman to me is the amount of white blood and genes that she carries. Like some dark Hispanic women are quite attractive. Not the necessarily the darkness, but the white genes that they do carry.
What about like an American Indian woman?
Well, American Indian woman, there's really very few pure American Indian women around. They usually look quite mongoloid of the Asian race to me, are not very attractive. However, the type like on Pocahontas, who they tend to make them nice and slim and have a lot of white physical traits, are more attractive. I have never been attracted to the point where I would ever leave my race to go after a non-white woman. But I'm sure that people of those other races would find those women quite attractive. In fact, when we see black beauty contests or beauty contests period today, it's always the light-skinned black woman who is going to win against a dark-skinned, pure black woman.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you, in regards to, like, inner-city problems right now, we're seeing right now 7 out of 10 young black men are in jail. There are those of us, like me, and you may call me a bleeding-heart liberal, or you may just think I'm a fool, but I think that the police are going after black men more than they're going after white men. You may think there's another reason that 7 out of 10 black men are in jail. Why do you think that's the case?
I think it's a combination of things. I do believe the black race in general, and specifically the youth, are more violent, are more aggressive at a younger age. On the other hand, there is a definite move by the powers that be, the elitists, the wealth of the community, to corner these people and keep them pretty well pinned up. And we understand that. We've talked to black nationalists about it, and we've told the black nationalists, like when the riot took place in L.A., I said, we will not lift one finger unless you begin to raid white working class neighborhoods. If you want to burn down City Hall, we don't care, but don't touch the white working class neighborhoods.
Okay. And now, I understand that the several white Aryan groups are gearing up for another riot and are armed in Los Angeles, and if that occurs, they intend to guard their businesses, armed and ready to shoot.
Everybody in L.A. is armed. Any person that isn't armed in L.A., you better get a mental check.
Yeah, well, I used to live there, so I understand. There is one open line in Salt Lake at 483-1320. Tom, you mind if we take some calls here from people?
I love them.
Okay, and we will also give out your web page address and phone number again.
Fine.
If you want to join us, there's one... 470-1320 in Salt Lake, 483-1320, pound 1320 mobile phone. What do you think about what's being said this morning in regards to race relations in the country? Mr. Metzger has made the prediction that within 5 years we're going to see a lot bigger race problem. Ed, you're on the Todd Herman Show. Casey and I tell it like it is.
Hello, Todd.
Hi, Ed. Say hi to Tom Metzger.
Hey, Tom.
Hi.
I just have two quick questions. First, I just wanted to applaud you, Todd, for having an intelligent guest, because I don't think I've ever heard a separatist that didn't sound like he had the education of a refrigerator, on TV or radio.
Mm-hmm.
And so my first question is, what makes you feel, Mr. Metzger, what makes you feel that you have the right to close down borders, under what authority are you?
I believe we would, if the Constitution is any good at all anymore, it must be on the issue of that the federal government must guarantee the safety from invasion of any state in the Union. And as far as I'm concerned, an economic invasion, which we have now, is just as much an invasion as an armed invasion. In fact, I would invite an armed invasion first because we would repel it really quickly if it was an armed invasion. It is an armed invasion in the sense that they propagate more and more and more people inside the country once they're here.
All right, just to touch, if you can give me the authority to your white nation that you're talking about in North America. Does the Constitution give you the authority to kick out everyone that's been here before?
Well, I'll tell you, the first law of the universe is the law of survival, and I believe that an individual has a right to attempt to survive, a family has a right to attempt to survive, a culture and a race has that propensity, and it should do everything it can to do that. The Constitution of the United States, you must understand, was a totally white man's document when it was penned. It was a racist document. It referred to other races in other ways as really minorities and percentages of a man even. And so for the first, 100 years there, it was operated totally as a racist document. And I'm sure if they'd have been overrun by any particular group of minority people, they would have attempted to expel them from the country. However, let me get one thing straight. If I would have been around during the period of slavery, I would have been an abolitionist in the sense that I would have not, if I could have gathered a force to turn around the slave ships and send them back and not allow them to bring blacks into the country, I would have been on the beaches doing it.
But were you against, would you have been against black people being forced to work for white people?
Yes, because it always leads to integration.
On a fundamental basis, is it wrong that whites would enslave blacks?
Yes.
Wrong for one race to...
I don't believe the white race needs to enslave anybody. We have the technology today. Well, I mean, the word right is something that doesn't equate to me. Privileges, possibilities, and so forth do, but right as some type of a mystical thing does not. Obviously, anyone who has the power can enslave anyone else.
All right, Ed, thank you very much for the
call.
Hold on,
I just have one more question.
Go ahead.
All right. I just wanted to know if I'm inferior to you. If your nation is over, would I be accepted?
Well, I have no idea. I know nothing about you, and I'd have to...
You don't know anything about the other people that you want to take out and take over?
Well, obviously, we're speaking somewhat in generalities, but we're speaking in a sense that there would have to be these decisions made at a certain time in the future.
And then kick out everyone that you don't like?
Well, it's not the Tom Metzger. I'm not trying to become a dictator myself, but it would be up to the agreements of those involved who are running the show at that time who would go and who would stay. And it would be up to the black race to decide if we are going to separate within North America, who would go with them and who would not. Everyone would be the master of their own fate and their own racial fate.
And thank you for the phone call. Right. And line open in Salt Lake, 483-1320, pound 1320, and a mobile phone. Tom, quickly, what does a white America have to fear from minorities remaining in the country and remaining to have strength?
Well, number one, the white race, so to speak, has always been a minority race in the world. People seem to not understand that. We've always been able to climb to the top because of our, if you will, our military might, our creative might, our ruthlessness of over the ages. That's what got us where we are. And if we think that we can sit back and play the equality game with a world that's stacked 9-1 against us, then we're going to lose.
Okay. Merlin, you're on the Todd Herman Show, KCNR, with Tom Metzger. Felt like it is.
Good show.
Thank you.
Also, congratulations, Ed, on the question. You mentioned in the last hour that in the event that you mentioned that you don't want to force the other races out of the country, but then on the other hand, you said you try for a compromise. That compromise implies giving on both sides. What would you be willing to give from your goal for some kind of compromise?
Well, I'd be willing to discuss the idea of some separate states. as has been suggested by black writers in the past, of separating certain states for blacks and like that. I think it's actually coming about a sort of by birth rates anyhow. One thing, the only only people who are not taking care of their future are white people, because the blacks, like in Mississippi, are over 50 to 60%, and in the Southwest is simply the mestizo non-white Mexicans and Central Americans are simply coming in there squatting and by birth simply taking it over. So it's happening whether it's by design or not, but the only party that's not taking care of its interests is the white people.
Able to accomplish, as you mentioned, close the border, going back on the last 10 years of amnesty and getting those folks out. Then for long-term residents who are simply not going to their home, then what would you do?
Well, it would be the Bangladesh operation, that there would be people relocated, as happens every once in a while in the world, like happened in the area of Bosnia and Yugoslavia in the old days, where they transferred population and they averted a war. Bangladesh, they moved tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people from one area to a completely another area, and if it need be, by force.
Well, one thing I appreciate about you, Professor, is you do tell it like
I try to be.
Thank you, Berlin, for the call. And a line open in Salt Lake, 483-1320. 483-1320 or pound 1320 on a mobile phone. We were talking a little bit about why the black race is being put in jail more often than the white race. Do you think that there's discrimination or racism amongst the police force in the country? Or
power structure. Once, like in L.A. a couple of weeks ago, actually on the 4th of July, a few senior citizens were out demonstrating against the runaway immigration policies of this country and an open border when they were attacked by an overwhelming group of Progressive Labor Party, Marxist people, Mexican people, and radical leftists and so forth, and beaten bloody, while the cops pretty much stood on the sidelines. So in other words, at least in L.A., where that happened, the police are serving some other interest other than keeping the peace.
You've said that you think that blacks are more violent as a race. Why do you think that is?
I think that's the way we have evolved, and I think that we have evolved on separate paths. I think that we have had more time to evolve and develop as a white European race. It gives us abilities to organize better, and I think it gives us the ability to conceive various forms of government, which hopefully try to lift men higher. I just don't believe that black races has that, had that time. But another thing I think about is that obviously a tremendous amount of the blacks in jail are poor people. Well, I believe the courts of the United States are not just. I don't believe poor people in general get a good shake in the courts.
Blacks get a fair shake? Poor blacks and poor whites, are they treated equally in court?
I think they're both treated equally, and I think they're given a
poor black man more likely to get the death penalty than a poor white man.
Well, I don't think that's so true now, because every time I see an execution lately, it's, you know, there's a white guy and then a black guy and a white guy. But I don't believe either side. I don't believe either poor blacks or poor whites get a fair shake in the courts. I think you
said that blacks are more likely to get the death penalty than whites.
Well, there may be racism there, and if there is, there is. But I think the more important thing is that poorer people and lower middle class do not get justice in the courts, because you only get as much justice as you can afford. You have to buy justice.
I think you're right there.
Yeah.
483-1320, my guest is Tom Metzger, leader of the White Aryan Resistance. Becca, you're on the Todd Ehrman Show, KCNR, with Tom Metzger. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
I just have a comment. Mr. Metzger, I think you are probably the most dangerous kind of racist that we have in our country. You're so well spoken. You almost sound reasonable. But it is still that same insidious method of hate.
Well, if you...
I'm a white woman. I came from a hard-working blue-collar family. My husband and I have, you know, worked and gone to college, and we're white-collar people now. And we made the conscious decision to teach our children that black people and Asian people the same as we are. And I said to my husband the other day, you realize that one of our children could very easily marry a black person because of our attitude. Is that going to be okay with you?
Well, I think you...
well-educated person will love our child, we aren't going to have a problem.
Well, I think what you have to do is look at the big picture and look at what may be coming down the road in the future, and you must look at the rest of the world. And the only way to get an idea of the way other races operate when they are in control is to look at the civilizations and the societies they live in around the world. And if you look at those societies, for the most part, They're drowning in poverty. They're drowning in oppressive government. They're drowning in corruption and disease in most areas of the world. Now, if you want to import that into North America as a standard that these cultures are somehow equal, then you're going to be going down the tube with them.
Becky, you were saying what about German?
I am a German by heritage. I am almost full-blooded German. By the grace of God, my family came here before the Nazi uprising. But good heavens, how can you ever say white people are better than black people with what we perpetrated against our own people?
Well, I can tell you very simply that the white race is definitely the king of the carnivores, and they have clawed their way to the top of the food chain, and they should make no apologies for it. Our great armies took North America, and I'm very proud of them for doing that, and I would suggest doing that again if they need to do that.
I am so sorry. Obviously has the potential
Well, I believe that, unfortunately, whether you like it or not, might it makes right. I believe that it's survival of the fittest, and I believe that is the law of the world. And whether it's in economics or whether it's in genetics, it all works out that way.
Rebecca, thank you very much for the phone call. Join us anytime. Salt Lake 483-1320 or pound 1320. By the way, my guest is Tom Metzger, and we'll get his web page and phone number again. Tom, do you think it's okay what we did to the American Indians as European Americans?
I don't think so. I think what the problem was with the American Indian, we had a schizophrenic relationship with the Indian. You had one side that was honest, like Andrew Jackson, who opened up the West for white colonization and simply went in and took it, no bones about it. And then we had the Christians, churches running in there. At the same time they were killing them off, they were trying to make Christians out of them. And so we had this mixed policy like we've had on many issues, even like Vietnam and so forth, to where we send false signals. I think if you invade a country, conquer a nation, indigenous people are unable to resist that being conquered, then that's just the way the mop flops, and that's the way history is. But to send these signals that, we love you, want to make Christians out of you, but at the same time you're killing them, is part of the schizophrenic relationship between American government and Christian churches.
Okay, all right. I think you're on the Todd Herman Show, KGNR, with Tom Metzger. Tell him like it is.
Hello, Todd.
Hi.
You know, if there's one thing I came away with this morning in this, is this gentleman has had plenty of time to hone his craft as being a Haitian spin doctor. I was pretty, I think a lot of people, a couple of guys I worked with were pretty, already had the defense that to be really offended and pissed off at him for the things he may or may not say, but he's obviously... like I say, hold his craft enough to where he knows how to throw the right spin on things to get people to listen to him without defenses up.
Well, you're speaking with him, so what do you want to say to him?
Well, I just want to say there's little or no doubt in my mind that when you say you don't really sit around and say nigger and stuff, I'm sure when you're in a room full of your cronies, the word nigger is big and you is flying everywhere.
Well, if I chose to, I would. I wouldn't be embarrassed by it. I'll speak any words that I feel like speaking, any place, as long as I'm a free white man, a free man, I will speak whatever I choose to speak, and I will support anyone's right to use whatever words they want, including when the black people stand up and say nasty things about white people. I support their total free speech.
There again, I just think you're pretty smooth, and
thank you.
There's little or no doubt in my mind that you're just taking just enough of the edge off just so people don't come up. Well, they'll listen to you a little bit, but it's all still, I'm just
Well, I just want you to remember, just remember these conversations 10 years from now, and because I always look out over the heads of the public into the future and what's coming rather than what maybe is right now. And so just remember these conversations 10 years from now.
Well, I'm also confident 10 years from now or 20 years from here, laying in your deathbed, your dying breath, you'll still be waiting for that big race war to happen.
Actually, I'm not waiting for a race war to happen. There actually seems to be a race war with 70% of the violent crime being committed by non-whites, and a lot of that crime is against thousands and thousands of white people in the streets of America. I would call that a race war, but the whites are not fighting back.
Travis, I thank you for the call. Good point. You join us anytime, okay?
All right,
I appreciate it. Line open and solid. 1320, pound 1320 mobile phone. But, you know, Tom, you're aware that the preponderance of violent black crime is black on black.
Well, that's because in most cases they're closer to black people in the mostly black communities that still exist in this country. There's still quite a bit of segregation left in this country, and when blacks live closer to blacks, they reach out and they're violent towards whoever's closest to them. As they integrate farther out into the white community, then those statistics will change fast.
Do you think that has anything to do with having been oppressed for as many years as they were in our country?
No, I don't believe so, because I don't believe every black person was oppressed. I believe that even under segregation, that probably the black people of this country had more successful, more lucrative businesses than they have today. I think that they have been sold a bill of goods and betrayed just like the white workers of this country.
All right. Tom Metzger is my guest. Tom, how do we reach you again? Phone number?
619-723-8996, or our email is Metzger, M-E-T-Z-G-E-R, at cts.com.
And then your website address?
Webpage is www.resist.com.
Okay. We will continue with your phone calls next. I thank everyone for being patient. And, Tom, we're going to be right back. I thank you for joining us, by the way, today. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Todd.
Tom Metzger, my guest with the White Aryan Resistance. It is 9:34 in the morning. Being in the United States Army is actually by design that racist organizations are infiltrating the Army to gain the training that they may need in case there's a war with the government. So we're talking with Tom Metzger. 9:34 in the morning. Thanks for joining us. If you've not called
in various parts of the land, and we will to try to do that, we are going to say we're going to have special penalties. We do that to try to stem, for instance, people smoking marijuana or taking heroin or other illicit drugs.
Okay, but so you believe that it is a worse crime to burn a church than, for instance, to burn down a shopping center?
I didn't say that it was a worse crime to burn down a shopping center as it is a church. There doesn't seem to be directed in any kind of intentional or systematic manner the burning of church of malls or shopping centers.
Carrying resistance, talking about race relations in the country and where they're headed. Where do you think they're headed? Where do you, you know, Mr. Metzger's made the prediction that we're going to see perhaps a race war and certainly much worse racial relations in the country. You think we're ever going to solve this thing? And Mr. Metzger said also that he would like to see whites and blacks living separately, and has in fact met with Black Panther leaders and Asian American leaders. That also believe the same thing, that try to come to some sort of compromise. He said he would prefer compromises to war, but wouldn't back off from one. And if you want to join us in Ogden, 670-1320, in Provo, 470-1320, we're taking your calls now this morning to talk to Mr. Smith. Again, our pleasure to have you on. We thank you for joining us.
Thank you. One point I'd like to make is on this military thing. Militant non-white groups have had a presence in the American military for a long time, going way back, the Black Panthers and so forth. Recently in Camp Pendleton here, within a mile of me, a Pacific Islander stood up and murdered his white commanding officer and seriously wounded another officer and was screaming that this is payback for the brown race. So it's not just whites that may be going into the military, or most of these people actually make contact with racial groups after they're in the military, not before.
Okay, I didn't know that. So and you know, we make a plan of being fair here, and I want to let you know, I mean, you and I disagree on race. I feel we're all one person, but I appreciate you talking with us. It's been interesting.
Sure.
Grant Grant is the first time caller. Grant, good morning. You're on the Todd Herman Show, KCNR, with Tom Metzger. Tell it like it is.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Like I said, it's nice to have Metzger on the show. And I hear some other callers. Very prepared.
Mm-hmm. And what did you want to say to him today?
Well, I just want to say a few comments. I don't agree that Mike is right. The strongest is always right. Sincerity isn't always true. Sincere as you want to be, and still not be true. And I'm white, of English background, and my personal philosophy is that three individuals are really good one three. If they don't treat you back that way, that's their loss. And also that three individuals as to that as individuals.
Well, I tend to treat people.
Out of black blood. Interracial marriage. They're wonderful people.
Yep. I tend to. Well, I tend to follow those principles pretty much in my personal life. I'm preaching the survival of the white race, and I don't have to be an ogre from day to day in doing that, but I do have to talk about the long-range consequences of neglecting our race. But as far as my personal relationship and business relationships with people of other colors, I have not had a real problem with that. And I've lived in a community where there's a lot of Hispanics for many years, and I've not really had that problem. But we must look. A military general who is lives in a community when he's not at war can be very amiable to everyone around him, but when he goes to war, he goes to kill. And so his philosophy in war is different than his philosophy at home. And so well, let me put it this way. Let me give you an example. Now, I am a racist separatist, and I'm very adamant about it. One of my bodyguards one day came down the street by my house, and there was a little black kid had crawled in the middle of the street just below a little rise where cars were going 50 miles an hour. He got out of the car and saved that little black kid's life. Now, he is a committed, totally racist individual. Now, but he did stop, pick up his black kid, and save the kid's life. So now how do you figure that? In other words, you can be honorable. That's because we believe in being honorable no matter what our beliefs are. We believe that a white man should have his honor to contend with, and we should be as honorable as possible to people of other races, even though we believe in total separation.
Grant, I need to run, and I want to thank you for the call. Join us again, okay? In Salt Lake, 483-1320. Tom, we're going to shoot through calls here quickly.
Sure.
And we'll talk to as many people. Salt Lake, 483-1320. I wonder if you agree with Tom Metzger's opinion that within 5 years we'll see a race war in the country. Mark is a first-time caller to the Todd Herman Show. Mark, you're on KCNR. Sound like it is.
Yes. First of all, no, I don't believe there will be a race war. It's through ignorance and paranoia that people like Mr. Metzger, that you exist. And it's paranoia.
Do you have a question?
And first of all, if I heard you say earlier that the Constitution is a racist document.
Absolutely.
I tend to disagree because one of the greatest monuments in American history is Ellis Island, and it doesn't say bring to me your white children. It says bring to me all.
Well, that was put on there in the that was put on in the 1800s. It was a poem by a Jewish poet that had nothing to do with anything but the.
I know the history behind it.
The industrialists of this country wanted cheap labor, and they always used the violins that we love everybody to get them in here to pay them cheap wages and break the back of the labor movement in this country. So they're always trying to bring more and more people in that will keep the wages down. And then they put fancy little poems on monuments to make it like, well, we did that because we love everybody.
Well, I personally thank God and thank the wisdom of the leaders that put that on there.
Well, the leaders didn't put that on there.
People have helped build this nation to what it is. There's no single race that is pulling down this nation except
for the Aryan Nation because they want to separate.
Well, what I would have done, what I think the first...
Like Biola-Battery, Alabama, where you have a... I mean, you talk about black townships and different races, look at their culture. Look at some of America's white-centered, southern...
The Statue of Liberty was first rejected, and then the people who built it in France wanted to give it to Egypt, and Egypt didn't want it. We took it, and I think that if I had any power in this country, we would dismantle the Statue of Liberty and ship it back to France and say, you try it.
Okay, well, I'm glad you don't have that. Thank you for the call, Ron. Thanks for joining us again. I heard you. Line open to Noggin, 670-1320. Mitch, Joseph, you, Robbie, you're on the Todd, or Bobby, you're on the Todd Armour Show, KCNR with Tom Metzger. Tell it like it is.
Greetings, Mr. Metzger, 88.
Greetings. Thank you.
Hey, I want to tell you that we really appreciate your service to our people, and it's good to hear somebody that has an education and knows what they're talking about on the airwaves.
Thank you.
You know, we hear all the time all these weak white people calling in, being ashamed to be white, complaining about people who stand up for our people.
Well, this is what I say. Our worst problem is among our race. We first must straighten out our white race, then everything else will fall into line.
Absolutely. If you get a chance, if you run into Martin Cox or Amy Kulaki, please tell them hello.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
88 mean, Tom?
Pardon me?
What does 88 mean?
88 is a Nazi term denoting Adolf Hitler.
It's in respect to Hitler, then I guess.
Some people use it, some people don't. It's, you know, some people are National Socialist oriented, some people are not. So our associates come from all areas, you know, Klan, neo-Nazi, you name it, atheists, agnostics, Christians, and so they all have their free beliefs. Well, here again, we have counterparts, and I have been the personal guest of Mr. Louis Farrakhan on at least one occasion.
Kidding, Tom. I don't even, I mean, I understand where you're coming from, and you've made it clear that you've met with the black organizations that feel the same way, and Louis Farrakhan does feel the same way.
Well, on many issues, we don't agree on a lot of things, but we at least can sit down in the same room and not kill each other.
How do you feel about bow ties?
Oh, I think those guys are sharp, and I think that I wish a lot of the white racial groups would dress as well as the Fruit of Islam.
Right. Provo, you're on the Todd Herman Show with Tom Metzger, KCNR. Tell it like it is.
Hi, Mr. Metzger.
Hi.
I first saw you back in 1988 on Channel 56 with Wally Short. And then I met you afterwards, and I thought you were one of the greatest people that I've ever met. Actually, I even got your autograph. And your family, you had your bodyguards back there, and you went to the Jurassic Killer Beach. But anyway, just want to let you know, I've seen you before, I know your history.
Yes.
What I want to tell you is this. I'm amazed that Todd would actually let you on the radio. I'm very glad to hear you on the radio, and it's nice to know that you're still going strong.
Well, it sounds like Todd believes in free speech and believes in everyone having their particular time to say what they believe. Well, you can write us at P.O. Box 65, Fallbrook, F-A-L-L-B-R-O-O-K, California, 92088. It's 92088. And that's the simplest way. And email, it's Metzger, M-E-T-Z-G-E-R, at CTS.com.
Like we've been discussing, you know, black issues here. Okay, what you brought up earlier, the Pacific Islander, you've got the humanity officer who is white.
Yes.
We've seen more and more problems in this state with the Pacific Islanders thinking that they're the almighty ones trying to take over everything. And if it wasn't for us, they'd be nothing.
Well, you got to remember that the will to power exists in every race. And any race that tells you, or their leadership tell you, we just want to come and just be sort of among you, is baloney, because they want power. And when the non-white Hispanics get the numbers and get the power, they will run the show. And if the Asians come in and they get the strings of government under their control, they will do it. But in the meantime, they're all going to whine about the horrible white man, but believe me, if they get into power, they'll do the same thing or even worse.
Join us again. I appreciate it. The Herman Show, KCNR, with Tom Metzger. Tell like it is. Joseph, 30 seconds. Go as fast as you can.
Yeah, I just want to tell this gentleman that he speaks about war. took every nationality to fight for this country?
Well, my position is most of the wars were economic wars. We should not have been in them at all. We shouldn't have been. We shouldn't have had a civil war. We shouldn't have been in the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, or Vietnam. They were mostly economic wars. We never really won these wars. We got weaker after the wars. And I believe we should stay out of international policing of any kind. Well, I think they were fools for doing that. I believe the black man was a fool for fighting the so-called white man, the elitist war. I think the Indian and the Hispanic who fights the white man's war, and you're really not the white man, but the white economic elite war is stupid, and they shouldn't do it. But some of them did gain citizenship that way and so forth.
Like, one last thing. People that are real racist, for example, I think you're racist.
Yes. Sure.
Okay. People seem to go to church every Sunday and act holy, holy, come out.
Well, I don't think you'll find that true. Well, you'll find that the broad spectrum of racists are not Christian at all. I mean, there's some are Christian. I would probably be classed as an atheist. I believe in nature and so forth. I worship no man-made God. I believe religion is a $455 billion business in this country, and everything outside their religion should be taxed.
Now I understand where you're coming from, because you have no guidance in life.
Joseph, thanks for the call. And Mitch, quickly, 1 minute, we're on the Todd Emmer Showcasing our fire, Mitch.
Okay. I've noticed your radio station. I've got Rick Taylor and the CS. You're real, real psychotic. Separate between religion, race, and so forth. The thing that you're insurance
is so we should ignore it.
Well, no.
Is that what you're saying? You'd like us to ignore it. Well, certainly, Mitch. Okay, Mitch, we take both sides. What is it you want to say to Tom Metzger?
Well, I agree with some of the things that you're saying, but I've seen a lot of the methods that you proposed are very antiquated and very mean-spirited. It's not the way it has worked in the past.
Okay. Right. Got to run, Mitch.
Well, the reason for... Yes.
You will close this out when we continue.
Okay? Sure.
Let me take a break. We'll come back and get you your piece. We'll continue.
Thank you.
You want to give your email quickly again?
Yes, it's metzger@cts.com. And just look at, like a house, Western civilization, like a house. The termites first attack it, and if you don't take care of it and leave it go, finally it becomes so riddled with termites you have to destroy the house and start rebuilding. And that, I think, is what we're going to have to do.
Well, as someone who took a black prom date to the prom, a dark black woman, you and I really very vehemently disagree about race.
I'm sure we do.
But I appreciate you coming on and telling like it is. You're a lot more honest than a lot of the politicians like Merrill Cook I've had on my show.
I appreciate, too, the people who believe in free speech, even though they really feel very strongly in the reverse.
Well, when something racial hits again, we'd like to have you on as a consultant for your side of the argument. And next time around, would you consider talking with the Southern Poverty Law Center?
No problem. No, and I will, on any issue, I'm going to give it to you right between the eyes straight, and I won't beat around the bush.
Yeah, I think you've shown that. Tom, thank you for joining us. My name is Todd Herman, and we'll see you tomorrow at 6 a.m.
in the news.
Anytime.
Maybe I'm going to be a consultant, so I'll keep this number, okay?
Fine.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Todd.
Take care.
Bye.
Well, that was a good interview. I liked it. I enjoyed it. Nobody got really uptight and screamed at each other. And so Todd up there, he did a good job. Unfortunately, the recording is not up to quality, but sometimes we had to do things like that, and sometimes we had bad connections. But the webmaster digs some of this great stuff out that I forgot about. Thank you, She-Wolf Webmaster. That's it for today. I'll be back tomorrow on Thursday. And in the meantime, I have nothing to say. 5 words. And just remember, at the polls, just put down none of the above.